God. In tender love for all our human race, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take our flesh and to suffer death upon a cruel cross. May we follow the example of his great humility and share in the glory of his resurrection through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Lecture du livre d'Isaïe. Le Seigneur Dieu m'a donné une langue de disciple pour que je sache soulager l'affaibli. Il fait surgir une parole. Matin après matin, il me fait dresser l'oreille pour que j'écoute comme les disciples. Le Seigneur Dieu m'a ouvert l'oreille et moi, je ne suis pas cabré. Je ne suis pas rejeté en arrière. J'ai livré mon dos à ceux qui me frappaient, mes joues à ceux qui m'arrachaient la barbe. Je n'ai pas caché mon visage face aux outrages et aux crachats. C'est que le Seigneur Dieu me vient en aide. Dès lors, je ne cède pas aux outrages. Dès lors, j'ai rendu mon visage dur comme un silex. J'ai su que je n'éprouverai pas de honte. Il est proche, celui qui me justifie. Qui veut me quereller, comparaison ensemble? Qui sera mon adversaire en jugement? Qui s'avance vers moi? Oui, le Seigneur Dieu me vient en aide. Qui donc me convaincrait de culpabilité? Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you. reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king." Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered, "You say so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." But they were insistent and said, "He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all Judea from Galilee, where he began, even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean, and when he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at the time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him, then put an elegant robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people, and here I have examined him in your presence and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Then they all shouted out together, "Away with this fellow, release Barabbas for us." This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify, crucify him." A third time he said to them, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave this verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed over Jesus as they wished. As they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of the people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at them, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." But when all the crowds who had gathered there saw this spectacle that had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But with all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, there watching these things. There are many who say that the scriptures of Palm and Passion Sunday preach themselves. All you have to do is be in the story and go with what's happening, and it has an effect on you. But I want to add a few words. Mostly, I want to add that we are the crowd. Over the course of this week, as we read the parts of this story, we are the crowd. It will be formalized on Good Friday when we do this same reading as a dramatic reading, and all of us give our voices to say, "Crucify him, crucify him." But all through the story, it's us. And so a few thoughts to take us through the week, particularly from the Palm Sunday reading. We did that reading in the parish hall, and while we were there, it may have escaped you, or maybe you noticed. It began with, "After he said this," and then it told the story of the palms. And my first reaction in reading that was, "After he said what?" And so I want to make that connection. As we know, Jesus went around the countryside preaching and telling stories and parables. And he had just finished telling a parable that is well known to many of us. It's called the Parable of the Talents. And in that story, a king gives three of his servants money to invest in businesses. So one gets 5 talents, that was the unit of currency. One gets 2 and one gets 1. And the one who got 5 talents doubled it to 10. The one who got 2 talents doubled it to 4. And the one who got 1 said, "This isn't worth it," and buried it, and then brought it back to the master when he returned home and said, "You're a harsh master, so I put it in the ground, but you can have it back." And that reading, after that parable, which we know, has an odd ending. It goes like this. To all those who have, more will be given, but from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. And it continues, but as for these enemies who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and slaughter them in my presence. Now, if this sounds unfamiliar to you, it's because we don't have it in our 3-year lectionary. It doesn't come up. And we caught it when we did our gospel read through. We read through the whole of Luke's gospel in 2 installments, in Advent and then a few weeks ago. And this struck us. But as for these enemies who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and slaughter them in my presence. What is this about? We have this easy shortcut with parables when they're about a king that it's easy to assume, oh, Jesus means God as the king. Pretty clear here that this is not our loving creator that is being spoken about. In fact, the transition right into the palms and what happens would make it clear that this king is Caesar. And Caesar does not like to have any competition at the harsh rule that he has. And so we remember Jesus looked out over Jerusalem and he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills its prophets. The city that is afraid of its occupying power and its emperor. So when the crowd comes in with their palms to Jerusalem, what is that about as this picks up from that strange, harsh story? There are 2 interpretations that are most addressed to say, what is that palm procession about? The first, the most common, is that the fickle crowd welcomes Jesus with palms, and then on Good Friday, they change their mind. Keep in mind, we are the crowd. They welcome Jesus on the Sunday, they change their mind on Friday. But there is a second interpretation, and that is that this is a parody procession, and at the very same time Jesus is doing this, it is to mock the official imperial procession that is coming in another gate into Jerusalem with all the imperial flags and big horses and armor and ceremony, and that this is intended to mock the power that is so unjust. Now, this second interpretation was featured this morning in the New York Times. I saw it and I thought, okay, I have to change everything else I say to fit this in. So, Ricardo Thomas is an Episcopal Church priest and a PhD candidate in Oxford, and he has made this the centerpiece of his article to tell the world what Palm Sunday is, that it was a mockery of the empire. And he goes on to be very specific that all authoritarian governments are judged by this mocking parody, including his own. He's an American, right? So think about what he's saying. He's saying that prophets are needed now where we have authoritarian governments, but their fate is going to be like Jesus. They're going to have a harsh time being prophets. Now, this is not a new theory, and I have to say I was shocked that the New York Times did not reference that this was already in a book, a well-known book called The Last Week by Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan. And I figured, all right, well, he's an Episcopal Church priest. He would know this book. He's an Oxford PhD candidate. He would know to cite his sources. Did the New York Times just decide, okay, we don't need a footnote here? This is a well-known way of interpreting Palm Sunday, that there is a mockery of empire. So, this procession into Jerusalem, we could think a couple ways of it. One is that it was two groups of people. The little group that welcomed the mock procession with their palms and cloaks were not the same group of people on Good Friday who said, "Crucify him, crucify him." Or maybe they were. And why do people change their minds? If we look at the media that we have today and the authoritarian governments that are in our world, that are in our news, the reason people change their minds, well, it's about access to information, it's about media manipulation, it's about not knowing your best interests or being confused about them, and voting against your best interests. That's what happens when people change their minds now and vote against their own interests. They've been manipulated. So that crowd on Palm Sunday, were they fickle? Were they manipulated? Either way of thinking about it is a cautionary tale about us, because we're reading this week from the place of we are the crowd. We can be manipulated. So the story over the course of the week, I think it asks us to pray that we can be discerning people, that we will notice when someone is persuading us against what's best for us. So Jesus said about Jerusalem, you know, the city that kills its prophets. I guess the overall trajectory of the week would be to see that God forgives our failures. That's Good Friday, that's Easter Sunday. God forgives our failures. Even our failure to recognize prophets among us, God forgives. And then God keeps raising up more prophets. In every age, there are people who call us to be faithful people. And God's loving hope is that we will hear them. That we will honor the people who take risks because they want to protect us and they love us. That's what Jesus did. Many follow in his path. And so we're the crowd this week, trusting in God's mercy and love. Amen. Thank you.
As we come together in God's presence, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, on this day, the people went out with palms to meet you, and we meet you now with our prayers and our praise. As we journey together through Holy Week, from the joyful entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, through the Last Supper Jesus had with his friends, to the anguish of the cross, may we understand the depth of the love that sent Jesus into the world to be our Savior. We pray for the Church, remembering Anne, our acting primate, Shane, our bishop, and all who minister at St. John's. In our diocese, we uphold our community ministries and the members of the Community Ministries Committee. And we remember in our prayers the parish of the Lower Ottawa Valley. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Loving God, we pray for the gift of peace. We pray that in all places of conflict, that you will help open new pathways to any violence among nations, within our nation, in our communities, and in our homes, so that there will be safety, freedom, and justice for everyone. Let us pray to the Lord. We pray that you will draw us into deeper relationship with you and with one another. Help us trust in challenging times. Free us from fear. We confess to you our anxiety and worry about profound uncertainty in the politics of our continent and our world. Lord, in this election season, we pray against division and strife. Unite us as a nation, helping us to listen to one another with respect and understanding, regardless of differing viewpoints. Lord, keep this nation under your care. Bless the leaders of our land, that we may be a people at peace among ourselves and a blessing to other nations of the earth. Help us elect trustworthy leaders and contribute to wise decisions for the general welfare. Let us pray to the Lord. We pray for the healing of minds and hearts, that the healing touch of Jesus will restore and give us new hope. We pray for those we know who are in hospital or ill at home, or in need of any kind. We uphold in our prayers Alice, David, Inga, Peter, and Jack. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who have died in your peace, that they may sing your praises without ceasing for all eternity. And we pray for those who mourn. Let us pray to the Lord. Loving God, we pray that we may bear the fruit of your Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. Take firm root in our lives, so that we may lovingly serve and welcome all with no exceptions. Help us to live together in your love and shine as lights in the darkness to reveal your glory in the world. All this we ask in your name. Amen.
Yeah.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Peace, to love and serve the Lord.